time of Abiathar the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who are with him. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath, so the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Here ends the reading. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the second chapter of St. Mark, the gospel text which was just read. When I was growing up, we generally ate out about once a week. Sometimes on a Saturday night, we'd go to downtown Rock Island to Toasties and have supper, or sometimes we'd go after church over and stand in line at the Bishop's in downtown Davenport once a week, just about. When we first got married, we didn't eat out a lot. And by that, I mean we just never ate out. I was in school, and the cheapest way to eat is to eat at home. But wait till I get out of seminary, then we'll be rich. And that happened in 1985. And then in the mid-90s, we began to eat out occasionally. And as the children launched, we did more of that. And now we still do a lot of cooking, and we eat out more than we used to. And whether you cook or whether you eat out, if given the choice between food that is just okay and food that's really, really good, what's your preference? Well, I prefer the stuff that's really good myself over just okay. For most of human history, a good meal has been a meal. I mean that any food you get your hands on, you ate it. And the concept of leftovers is a relatively new thing. If you found yourself with food there in front of you, you would eat that food until you were done eating, until the food was gone. Whether it was game from hunting or fruit from a tree, vegetables from the garden, you just ate it until it was gone. Firstly, they didn't have refrigerators. They didn't have refrigerators. And more to the point, you never knew when there was going to be food in front of you to eat again. Could be a long time. And such was the case for the disciples of Jesus in the reading for today. The disciples are not going to be discussing the spicing or whether this particular meal was overcooked. It was food. That was what's important. It's Saturday, the Sabbath day. They're around Capernaum. They're strolling through a field. And the field belongs to a farmer, and the farmer probably was a Pharisee, all those things like being wealthy and being a Pharisee and being nobility and being educated kind of went together. The field belonged to a farmer who's probably growing what we would call the cereal grains, things like oats, barley, rye, and wheat, but not corn or beans. And it appears, doesn't it, to be harvest time. And as the disciples of Jesus walk through this farmer's field, they grab onto a head of, well, let's call it wheat. And they pulled off the stalk, and the stalk would have been much longer than what we have today, like waist level or above. And they would pull off a handful of wheat, and they'd rub it to separate the hull, and then they'd chew and swallow the meat, and that was a meal. And they ate until they were filled. I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking these city people, they just come out and, well, they're stealing my crop. And what, to feed the squirrels with? Are you kidding me right now? And the Pharisees seem to be thinking sort of along those lines, and they call Jesus out on it, saying, look, why are they doing what it is not lawful to do? But actually what the disciples of Jesus were doing was actually quite legal, as well as being quite common. As far as I can tell, God invented the concept of private property, and that's been a good thing. We've talked before about how the strong man, whether it's Egypt, the Soviet Union, these days Venezuela, took everything to himself and then doled it out to the people. After God sent Moses to fetch Israel out of their bondage to Egypt, after they had wandered for 40 years in the wilderness, when they entered into Canaan, the land promised to their father Abraham 400 years previous, God divided the land up, private property, among the 11 tribes of Israel. The 12th tribe, the Levites, were supposed to be the pastors. And according to Old Testament ceremonial law, things about the temple and the priesthood, they called for the offering of agricultural commodities, animals, plants, and you would bring your animals or your grain to the temple. You'd bring them to the temple, hand it over to the priest on duty as you confessed your sins, and then, this is how they took care of feeding people in those days, and then sometimes part of that would be burned, part of the sacrifice, and part of that grain or that meat went to the support of the priest and his family. That's where they got their food. That happened in the holy place. But even before you got that far in the outer court of the temple, there set the alms boxes. You know, when Jesus observed that the poor will always be with us, he wasn't commanding that, he was observing, that's the way it is, the poor will always be with us, and they are. So before you entered the holy place in the outer court of the temple, the alms boxes, you would put an offering into the alms box to be used mostly to feed the poor. That's where your alms went. And that's how things worked in the city of Jerusalem. But of course, not all poor people lived in the city, and rural poverty is a growing problem around here, and there were poor people in the country in Israel. And why were those people poor? Whether they're in the city or in the country, why were they poor? Well, for the same reasons why people are poor today, and there's lots of reasons for that. An Old Testament law dictated that when the farmer harvested his crop, if any of that crop fell on the ground, by law, he was not allowed to pick that up. By law, that fallen grain belonged to the poor, and you might recall that Ruth was out in the field gleaning, and we don't do much of that anymore. According to Old Testament law, the grape farmers could pick their grapes on one pass. If other grapes grew on their vines, those grapes belonged by law to anybody who managed to pluck them off the vine and place them into their mouths, also by law. The grain farmers were to round off the corners of their fields, leaving that grain in the corners unharvested, sticking up into the air, and that belonged to anyone who could get it. You know, God's the one who puts earth here. God puts earth here, and he puts stuff into it, stuff into the earth, stuff like minerals down there in the earth, which the human body needs. We need minerals. I think we need like 70-some minerals, and something like 11 or 13 are essential. You can't really live without them. God puts them in the ground because we need them. And then he installs a delivery system, sometimes including fiber, to get those things to us. When he created, God made sure to create reproduction so that this thing is very sustainable. You want to talk sustainability? I'm all about sustainability, so is God. So you put the seeds into the ground, and they spring up into that delivery system that we call a plant, which makes its way with all that that ground has to offer us, minerals, vitamins, that sort of thing, nutrition, up into us, sometimes by way of an animal, and that's how we get a lot of our minerals, some of our vitamins. And nitrogen, that's another one of God's inventions. Sunlight, water, and you get right down to it, and the part that man plays in growing things is pretty much to put the seed into the ground, and it grows. That's our part. And I know what you're thinking. It's not quite that simple, Pastor, and it's not. I get that. We garden and we plant trees, and sometimes we put seeds into the ground, and most of the time they grow, sometimes they don't, sometimes you don't even know why. The point is that with this whole thing of reproduction, seeds, animal, God has done the heavy lifting. We can manipulate these things, but we can't create these things. God has done that and put those things here for us. And so the disciples of Jesus were plucking that standing grain. It was their meal, and it was perfectly legal. And the Pharisees knew that these men were within their legal rights to do what they were doing, except for today. Any day except this day, not on the Sabbath day. Look, why are they doing what it is not lawful to do on the Sabbath? On the Sabbath, that was the problem. From sundown Friday to sundown Saturday, they were not supposed to be picking that grain on the Sabbath. And you know, those ceremonial laws involving the temple, the priesthood, the sacrifices, the annual festivals pointed to Jesus, all of them, who Hebrews says of Jesus, he is our Sabbath rest. Jesus is our Sabbath rest. All of these Old Testament ceremonial laws pointed to Jesus. They all pointed to Jesus, and now that Jesus is here, these things have served their purpose. They're no longer needed, and it is Jesus himself who delivers the news to these Pharisees that what used to be no longer is. What used to be in regards to the Sabbath here no longer is. And it's interesting, these theologians, they know the Old Testament like they knew the back of their collective hand, must have cringed when Jesus rhetorically asked them, haven't you read? Have you not read? And that question expects an affirmative answer. Yes. As a matter of fact, we have read the Old Testament. About that time, when David was out running from Saul and he was hungry, he came to the temple and he asked the priest there for the bread. We call it the show bread or the bread of presence. And Abiathar, the high priest, he gave it to David, that bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to his men who were there with him. And you know, David was not a priest, but David was one of the good guys, and his men were hungry too, and we're not talking about criminal activity, we're talking about ceremonial law, and you know what? We can just go ahead and bake some more bread. And the point in Jesus reminding the Pharisees of that Old Testament incident, the one where ceremonial law was broken, but for a good reason, is to say that there's nothing new here. There's nothing new here. And that one by one, the entire canon of Old Testament ceremonial law is going to be dismantled. It has served its purpose, no longer needed. And about the Sabbath day, the writer of the Hebrews says, Jesus is your Sabbath rest. And he concludes by pointing out the obvious. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. And on a very basic level, man was created first, and the Sabbath came actually a day later, right? On another level, the Sabbath day, the Sabbath rest, has little meaning outside of the context of God and man. If not for man, what's the point of resting on the seventh day? And the problem for those people by the time of Jesus is that they had kind of began to let the tail wag the dog. They became so obsessed with the minutiae of these ceremonial laws that they had forgotten about the fundamentals of God and man. And the fundamental is here is this. You have people who are hungry, and there's food here. And that food was put on earth by God to nourish man, and they are eating that food. What's the problem here? What's the problem here? Indeed, Jesus comes fulfilling the Sabbath. He comes fulfilling the Old Testament law. He is the sacrifice given on account of our sins to pay the price for those sins, to take away our sins, and he is our Sabbath rest. Not just on Saturday, not just on Sunday, but every day, 24/7, we rest in Jesus, knowing that we have forgiveness of sins, life and salvation that comes from him to us. For his own name's sake, we pray. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ.